So I'm in it. I'm in the game that changed everything, and I'm playing it, and it is a baby Shrek running away from a daddy Shrek. Mm. And he's got a big fork. I guess he's trying to eat you, and you're running, and you do press the triangle button to fart to go faster. Like I was telling you guys about the immersive gameplay.
Yeah,
and then you reach the edge of the dock, and there's nowhere left to run, and so you press a button, and you pull out a keyblade, and Kingdom Hearts music starts playing, and mm-hmm. you have an actual real-time keyblade battle with the Shrek father.
Now, where does this fall in the Shrek / Kingdom Hearts canon?
Well, it's a bold new sort of thing realized by Dreams that, from what I understand, it is something of like a video game pilot. They don't usually do those.
Yeah, sure. But it's like a backdoor pilot.
But I think that Disney realizes there's no road left to hoe with the Kingdom Hearts franchise. And so now DreamWorks, I guess, is going to snoop in.
Ooh.
Swipe it up. Now we do have Boss Baby Summon.
Oh, I love it.
I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah. What about Donkey?
Donkey well, isn't in this
no,
one.
No, no, no. You can't summon it unless you say, Donkey!
Donkey.
Sorry, hold on. Russ, you kind of stepped on Chris's fucking pitch-perfect Shrek impression. Let's hear that once again.
Donkey!
That's so bad, man.
it was close, right?
Can we all four harmonize?
Yeah.
Donkey.
Who's this show for?
My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know the best Infinity Games imagination engine of the millennia.
My name is Chris Plant, and I certainly played a video game this week.
My name is Russ Brushnick, and I know the best game of my dreams.
Hello, and welcome to the Besties, a game of the year show that goes all year long, a book club for video games, an experience of movement, a religion. This is the Besties, and welcome.
So much enthusiasm.
Welcome
today,
aboard.
Justin.
No, I do. I'm excited about the future. Well, it's just here's the problem. We're gonna have to end the show because they don't need to keep making new games,
right?
Because now
right,
that Dreams fair. Is out, that's all games. Mm-hmm. Dreams is all games.
I'm about as big a Media Molecule stan as it there comes. At every time I read that line or something approximating it in like a review, whether a user review or like a critic review, it made my skin crawl because y'all, it's a wild game and they put together a wild package, but they can still keep making games. They still do need to keep making games because I think a lot of them can still be better than the stuff folks are making in Dreams.
Okay, the show will continue.
Yes, the show will continue, thank God. So I just want to talk about, okay, you had a few little big planets, then you had Dreams, which has sort of been...
Tearaway. There was a Tearaway.
Tearaway was an extra. Do not sleep on Tearaway. That game kicks ass.
Dreams has kind of been like very long on the radar. I feel like it was announced quite a good while ago, and it just sort of percolated. If I remember correctly, when it was announced, it was sort of tied to the PlayStation Move controllers, right? There was a lot of like...
Well, I mean, it is still tight. You can...
I mean, you can if you're a mad lad that still is in a Johann Sebastian Joust and just has them charged up all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't messed with that. I would be curious to, because from what I understand, like, it actually makes a lot of the painting sort of stuff in Dreams like actually feel really good, as opposed to just sort of wiggling your DualShock 4 around and hoping art comes out of it. I'm trying to look for when it was. Let me see.
I want to say announced. It was 3 years ago at E2, maybe.
Oh, no,
three
bud.
Years ago at
no, bud.
E3.
It was revealed at PlayStation Meeting 2013.
Yes. Whoa. Right. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes,
it was. It's been on a. Yeah. Because, yeah, when they first revealed it, they had that weird puppet tech demo. And then, like, it kind of shifted to, you know, being essentially Little Big Planet times 100, sort of.
So this has been. It's a game about making games, basically. If that sort of sounds very daunting, I'll tell you what my experience has been like with it so far. And if y'all, I feel like that's a decent place to start this discussion. So when you get in, it has a very Media Molecule, very inspiring sort of like almost statement of purpose that we never get in games like this, that it's like, this is a game. It is about creativity. Creativity is incredibly powerful. It's something that needs to be fostered. These are tools to act as conduits for your creativity. You get a little bit of tutorial about how to move your icon around and how it possesses stuff in the world. And then you're thrust into some like just like little challenges like that. And then they kind of throw you into the muck and mire. There are some levels, some dreams made by Media Molecule that you can check out that are all uniformly pretty cool. Or you could just get nasty and start searching for Spider-Man.
That was my experiences. Imagination is the most powerful thing in the universe. An idea should be protected at all costs. Also, here is Peter Griffin standing outside of the Simpsons family's house, and SpongeBob is reciting memes.
I mean, yeah. It's all, that's true. It's extremely good. Searching for Spider-Man gives you about 10 different like open world swing. There's a swinging mechanic built into Dreams, as is the best I can grok. So you don't have to build your own bespoke swinging mechanic.
I don't think that's true. I think it is something that somebody has built and then has been, because this is like, in my opinion, like the coolest thing about Dreams, like the, what was fucking Joseph Gordon-Levitt's,
Joe.
Yeah. This like idea of just like somebody can make a swinging mechanic or a swinging, a contraption like that in the game, and then just share it, and then anybody can use it in their level, and it like automatically credits whoever you take stuff from. So like, I don't actually think there is a swinging mechanic built in. I think it is something somebody built that has just sort of propagated throughout
the games. There's a lot of variation. I mean, so much more so than you saw in like Little Big Planet, which were all sort of, especially the first couple, we're all sort of variations on platforming. There is a lot of different, a lot more room for interpretation in here. I played a lot of some first person games, third person games, some like recreations, which are very interesting. Of like,
did you play the PT one? The PT recreation is like profoundly accurate and wild.
There's a Super Mario 64. Recreation is actually pretty interesting. That feels pretty spot on, and controls pretty well. There are neat games that are pretty well established, and those are have seemed to have risen to the surface. There's one called Art Therapy that's kind of a little bit interesting, where you have a baseball bat, you're in a museum, and you're running around trying to smash as much art as you can because you're a failed artist that wants to take it out in the art world. And if security sees you with your bat out, they will arrest you. So you have to hide your bat, wait till no one's looking, and then smash like dinosaur bones and paintings and vases and stuff. And there's fun animations when the stuff wrecks. There's also a lot of like half thoughts and really wild non-ideas that are usually labeled as like, this is garbage, I wouldn't check this out. There's some interesting like there's a series called Opposite Day that are like first person. They almost remind me of Stanley Parable, like that. Yeah. Kind of like narrator playing with the player and communicating back and forth and very meta. Here's where I'm at, because I know that you guys are not as bullish on this, so I wanted to say that piece and say that, and I didn't get very deep into creation. I have never been someone who leans that way. I don't think of myself as a hugely creative person, so I don't get very deep into those sorts of tools. What I would say is that, and I know you'll have criticisms for it, but what it feels like to me is very early in the development of a sort of language of design in Dreams, or like a figuring out of like what is possible in this tool set. I didn't tell you guys about the coolest thing, someone recreating, there's a couple of people I think working together to sort of recreate Disneyland, where it's like connected, like you start in your hotel room at Disneyland, and it's actually like the different areas of the parks are connected, and you can walk from one land to another, actually like physically get on recreations of rides and ride them and stuff like that. And it's like, there's a lot of really interesting stuff that I feel like is so nascent right now because the whole thing is just getting started. But I walked away from it sort of feeling very excited about the potential of what could be created.
So here's what I would say. I think I agree that it's very early, but I would also say I was surprised that there wasn't like an ocean of high quality stuff, given the fact that the game has been in alpha for a while. Like,
I feel like that's unfair. I feel like there's a ton of like the stuff that is all featured is all like actually remarkable showcases of the tools. You get Art's Dream, which is like a 2 hour long game that Media Molecule made. And so like, I don't think that's a fair criticism.
Well, no, I mean the stuff that they made is one thing. I'm talking about the like fan user made stuff.
I know what fresh means. Like, I don't feel like there's much of anything that is especially good. Art Therapy, the thing that Justin mentioned, I've seen that mentioned a lot. Like, that I feel like is kind of the key example that I've seen pop up in a lot of reviews of, hey, somebody made something really interesting that is, you know, a fun, and it's like it's a game. And it's not at all. It's like a stealth system that doesn't work. You break things. There's a score counter, but like, you can break everything on your first try. It is, though, very beautiful. It looks fantastic. And I've seen this discussion already amongst people who work at universities teaching game design about how much trickier it's going to be to judge, people who are applying to, you know, get into these universities. Because what Dreams does allow is for games to look very good and look very professional, when in fact, they are like below, you know, even what a like aspiring game designer would create in Unity, but would look like not even close to as polished. So I think like what we're seeing right now is things that look great, but I am yet to see anything game design wise where I'm like, hey, this is an original idea that actually feels like very competently honed. I think that's for a number of reasons. One, I think it's just easier. There have been more arts tools available. I think people have been using arts tools in VR to like design these things. And I think the other big thing is, I don't even think people know how to QA this yet. Like that was the thing that I kept running into, is I don't think people know how to like get an idea of like what works and what is fun. When does it stop being fun? And then when do the rules work and when do they not work? Everything just feels very, 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 very shabby. Doesn't mean it won't get better in the future. It just means I agree with Justin in the sense of like, that's where we're at today.
The impression I get with Dreams is that the core of it, specifically the stuff that like they have people making, is more about experiences and not less about games. I think you can make like a Twitter video that's like 30 seconds long and goofy and interesting, and like, or maybe like a walkthrough of a level where it's just like watching someone walk through it. But the second you're actually controlling it, I think it's very different. I mean, it takes a lot of time, rightfully, but it takes a lot of time to make a game feel good. And I think the default like locomotion stuff in the game is comparable to like the default locomotion stuff that was sort of in Little Big Planet. And I despised the physics of those games, like with a fiery passion. And they made Tearaway, which effectively addressed all of the issues that I had and was like a fun platformer to move around in. And now I'm back to Little Big Planet physics and I want to just never do that again.
Griffin, I know that you are a huge Media Molecule fan, especially with Little Big Planet. So I'm very curious what your take is.
Well, I'm struggling with this conversation, to be completely frank. Like, I think that talking about Dreams as if it was GameMaker Studio 2 or Unity is like bonkers, because it's like not what it is. That's like saying like WarioWare DIY can't turn out great video games. Who's going to QA all of the, you know, levels that people are making in Super Mario Maker 2? Like, it's a game. Like, it's a game, and it is a game that only Media Molecule is making. Like, it's a game that only Media Molecule has made up to this point. I think it's important when talking about this game to have at least some sort of like history on the advancement of like the Little Big Planet formula, right? Because in the first game, it was very bare bones. Like, you can paint platforms to run on and jump on and grab onto this, and there are a couple little gizmos. And then in Little Big Planet 2, it's like, oh, now we're adding circuit boards so that you can program more advanced logic. And then, you know, they keep stepping it up and stepping it up, saying that like all the levels in Little Big Planet 2 are just all platformers, I think does a disservice to like what that community got into and what like the focus of the game was. And what was so exciting as somebody who's kind of embedded in that community is seeing like, how far can we push it? How far can we like can we make a first person shooter in like something that was explicitly not necessarily made for that? Although as you get into 3 and stuff, like, it does sort of move in that direction. I think looking at Dreams, it is like seeing again like what a 7-year advancement of those ideas looks like. And I think if you approach it from the same way that you approached Little Big Planet, it is a like, it's a resounding success. Like, if you are the type, I don't think any of us, myself included, I have not put in necessarily, I've done like a couple hours worth of the tutorials, which is sort of a drop in the bucket, although I've really enjoyed my time with the tutorials. I have not like gotten into contraption making. I have not gotten into the entire taxonomy of this game that sets it apart, of just like, you can make an object and then save that object and then put it inside a scene and then put that scene inside of a larger dream. And then like give tags to that dream so that people can just type in the Spider-Man tag and then literally just press go and play fucking 50 Spider-Man levels in a row. Like, all of that is an evolution of what Little Big Planet did. And I think it is so smart, and I think it is so well made, and I think it's like, I think it is gorgeous. Like, it is this impressionist sort of art style that is, again, unlike anything I've seen in a game before. And to say like that, it, that is a bad thing because it's like not, it, it's going to trick people into thinking these games are better than they are. I think it's just like how you're looking at it. I don't look at these things as like games. I look at it like, I'm going to type in some dumb shit into the search and then see what people have done with these tools, seeing how far they've pushed them, seeing like how like creative they have gotten with these things.
I'm confused by what metric you all are using to be critical of Dreams. It's kind of where I'm like, I don't feel like there's any, like, I don't see how any position other than it's extremely early and it seems like these tools are amazing. I don't see how there's any other defensible position, honestly.
We have the same position. What we're talking about is like what exists right now. Okay, so well, let me push back on what Griffin said, because I think that's a really good point. Of this is a game, it's an evolution of Little Big Planet. Like, I think that is definitely one way of seeing it. I completely disagree. I think the problem with it for me is it's nothing like that. Little Big Planet had a campaign. You learned how to like play with the design tools within it. It was limited to a platformer, and then people bent it in a whole bunch of different directions. Dreams, on the other hand, is a set of design tools, and then they have a showcase of those design tools, which is the like what 2-hour campaign, but the core of the game is the design tools, and it is not limited to any form. What they're saying is, this is a device, this is Game Maker. Like, you can go out and make your dreams, and if you look at what is already out there, it is not, hey, I made this, like, I mean, there's obviously tons of filler, but the things that are at the top is like, hey, me and all of these other people are working on a fantasy role-playing game genre bender, and in the title it'll say 3 years of development. People like are using this to make games, and we're at like day one of it. I think that's absolutely fantastic and very cool, but as a if we're talking about it as a game, like right now there is a 2-hour demo of like what you can do with the tools. It's perfectly fine. It's like, I'm kind of surprised that there's not more, just because the game has been in development for so long, but I think that hasn't been the focus. And then there's the like literally the very beginning of development on all of these like fan projects that they themselves are saying will take a couple years, will probably take even longer knowing how fan projects work, which is again like that's super super awesome. It's just, as Justin said, we are literally at day one of that, which makes it more interesting to me intellectually, like of, hey, we get to see how game design works even, you know, earlier than something like early access.
Right.
I totally appreciate Dreams on an intellectual level. If I was recommending this to a friend who only, you know, plays a few games a year, I would say like, friend, unless you are interested in game design, unless you're interested in the tools, there's not a lot of reason to hop in right now.
So what you're saying, I think I probably misinterpreted the gap between us. Like, I'm taking a very forward-looking approach. You're taking a very, like, right now, you're sort of thinking, like, if you're going to spend $40 on a thing today, you could probably chill on Dreams for a little bit.
Unless you want game design tools.
Right. Unless you want to get into the creation aspect of it.
And then it's the best deal on the planet. Like, I mean,
I think because most games are so polished these days, I kind of have more of an appreciation for like being able to get down into the funk, like getting into sort of the funky mire of what is out there right now. Because some of this disastrous, every Spider-Man, for some reason, someone made one Spider-Man and everybody got the same Spider-Man and they all run like my 2-year-old. It's like with legs kind of like wobbling out from underneath him. It's fucking so. And there's one Spider-Man. I got really deep into Spider-Man because I thought it was a useful, like, what are people doing in the Spider-Man field? There's one Spider-Man game where the only thing that is new is that you can switch to the black costume and you double tap 0. And that, like, while you're swinging as regular Spider-Man, there's a huge prompt at the bottom of the screen that says, like, circle, circle to embrace the darkness in like 30-point font. And you press circle, circle, and you chain in the black suit Spider-Man. And then it says at the bottom of the screen, circle, circle to chase the light.
It's so, like, it's badass. So wild.
I think it's so funny at this point, and like so, you know, I think it's so interesting to see sort of like what people are doing with it. Like as a way of like, I don't know, sort of, I see what you're saying. Like, if you're looking for like infinite free polished games, like
it, not it even ain't polished. There yet. Like, I don't even think. I mean, I love your Spider-Man description, but even like that little Big Planet zone of like, oh man, this is a mess, but like I can enjoy it. It's a goof. I don't even know if it's entirely there yet.
I think the difference, my guess at least, would be that Little Big Planet was starting with the structure of a 2D platformer.
Correct.
That was much easier to build into variations on a theme or irony or comedy or even horror, you know, whatever. It's easier to nudge that into something interesting rather than start with like
nothing.
For, and you have to make a skeleton. And the group think was making shared progress on the same genre. We're like,
kind of. I think you had a foothold in Little Big Planet. If you weren't interested, what we're talking about is two different audiences. I am interested in the creative tools. And so when I see they do these competitions, right, where they say, and this one was just make the most realistic looking food you can. I don't know if you guys fucked around with that.
It's great.
But like calling that a video game is like unfair, right? Calling that, there are also like music videos and like all kinds of just like weird shit like that that I think is really, really neat. I think with Little Big Planet, if you weren't interested in the creative tools, there was this part of you of just like, well, I'm never going to mess with the creative tools. So like, I'm never going to like really appreciate like, oh, they did something really clever with the creative tools because I don't really know what the boundaries of that are. But I like platformers and I can go in here and play a bunch of like cool platforming levels. I think where we're at with Dreams, and I think this is kind of what you're getting at, is like, we don't have that. Like, there isn't a, I like platformers so I can go in and play a bunch of good platformers. Because, yeah, the art therapy game is not especially, it is impressive from a creative standpoint from what they've done with the tools, but like, I'm not going to play it a second time.
It's a very cool proof of concept.
Yeah, sure. I would push back on saying, I think Art's Dream kicks ass. I thought that was a really, like, it's the coolest thing I think Media Molecule has made. But that's, I guess,
Russ, can you weigh in one more time before we wrap up? I feel like you haven't gotten as much of a hand on this ball.
Yeah, I just to second what Griffin was sort of talking about, and I agree, like, I mentioned this earlier, I think this is not a game maker. I don't think that was their intention when they started making the game. I could be wrong, I don't know. But my read of it is that it is 100% an experience maker, and I realize that sounds like annoying and pedantic to like call it that, but it is more a thing that you look at, like a music video or like a relatively non-interactive scene or something, and not so much a thing that you should play. Because the second that you start playing stuff, I think it does kind of fall apart.
I hope we see more of that, because that sounds awesome. Like the Disneyland stuff, the food, like there, and I can't think of many things like that.
And you don't have to worry about like game feel or good mechanics or anything like that. You're just like, hey, here is a literal, in the way that like people play Minecraft creative and make an incredible city, but it has no interactivity. That's fine because you can like appreciate the visual of it. And I think that's where Dreams does a good job. I just think everyone is so distracted to have like Shrek farting in a river.
To put just like one last sort of optimistic pin in it, what excites me about sort of the open nature of like, hey, I made this Spider-Man swinging mechanic, use it in any of your levels, is like there could be a like, hey, I made actually a pretty tight platforming like physics system that like actually feels pretty good, and then like everyone could yoink that And
it
then,
just
like,
seems like something Media Molecule should have just included at this point. Like, I know it's not.
I get a real sense of Media Molecule trying to not control the discussion in the way that they did with.
I also think unless you have like really gone through what is available in the creation system, saying that I'm surprised Media Molecule didn't put something in there is a fucking wild thing to say.
Yeah.
No, I'm also just glad Media Molecule exists.
Whatever
my feelings are on it, it's wild. Like, I think this is Brave is like not my favorite word, but like, I kind of can't believe
you should
exists.
Still toss him $40 for this game right now. That is where I'm at. Like, kick him a 40. Please support this dumb thing so it will continue to exist. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk more about user generated content. To continue this dreams discussion, I wanted to talk briefly about everyone's favorite sort of systems for users generating content. Obviously, Beyond Good and Evil 2 will be entirely created by the players.
By all these face monkeys,
maybe that's
out there.
Why it hasn't come out yet. They're just waiting for the players to break in and finish it. Ditto. What's your favorite?
For me, what was so formative was RPG Maker for the PlayStation 1. I spent so much time playing that game. I used to make like stupid like games for like all my friends featuring us as characters, and I would spend 100 hours like per thing, and then like debut it whenever we were all hanging out, and that was so cool. And I will never forget actually acquiring a DeX drive, which was a piece of tech where you could use it with your computer and download like saves off the internet and then drop it onto your PlayStation 1 memory card. I think like 30 people had one of these, and it was all the RPG Maker community. And so I found this website where I could download all these other RPGs that people made, and I was like so excited. And they were almost invariably like, here's Peter Griffin and he shoots SpongeBob to death. Here's Pikachu, catch him and eat him, and there's his penis. And it's like, Jesus. It was all such like edgelord. Like, there were a few like really like things that stick out in my mind, but like otherwise it was all like edgelord, completely horrific content stuff. And I remember my like 13-year-old mind being kind of fried by that.
I'm really stupid. I don't know if you guys have known this, but I want to be honest about it. I'm very stupid. So when it comes to UGC games, I can't figure them out, and I get very lazy, and I don't want to spend any time, but there have been a couple games like these that basically make me feel very smart, despite my stupidity, and one of them is Spore, which was a terrible game, don't get me wrong, but it did let me create hilarious penis aliens that would walk around the galaxy and basically do nothing because the game didn't exist, but the creations kind of felt like creations that I made without too much effort. I just, like, drew legs and then they walked and it worked great. So that I wanted to like call attention to, but also, and I mentioned this in the first half, Tearaway was another game that like effectively it's a platformer, like it's a straight platformer, but throughout the adventure they're always giving you prompts of like draw a turkey hand or draw whatever, like your dress, and then that stuff would get automatically injected into an actually good game. So I felt like I was contributing to like the overall aesthetic of the game without actually having to make the game itself, which is why I thought that was very good. I love Tearaway. I think
it's so good.
That is my favorite game of theirs by like a mile. So
I adore wrestling games, specifically wrestling games with character creation, and Fire Pro Wrestling is the best. At this, Fire Pro Wrestling is a 2D. It kind of looks like what would have happened if the NES and SNES wrestling games had evolved rather than the 3D era. And because it is much simpler to design stuff, and there is a massive player creation community online, you can download entire rosters into this game. Now that it's on Steam, it's even easier than before. So you can get the entire history of WWE, WCW, but you can also get every animal that has ever existed, every favorite character from a video game. So if you want Mario fighting 2B from Nier Automata, as I do, that is available. If you want to throw Bob
Settle
Ross
the oldest
in there,
debate in gaming. Yeah. Who would win in a fight?
There is basically anything and everything that you could imagine all in one supreme battle royale.
My favorite user-generated content game is Looney Tunes Duck Amuck.
I can't believe you're fucking talking. I can't believe you're soiling another podcast.
It came out in 2007. It's literally, it's like absolutely genius. It's based on a 1950s short of the same name, Duck Amuck, about Daffy Duck being messed with, I guess, annoyed by an animator that's constantly like changing the world around him. It's like a meta short. Mm-hmm. And this game, Duck Amuck, does the same thing, except it casts you as the animator and lets you sort of like build the world around Daffy. You're constantly having to like draw new things that go into the game, sort of like Tearaway, I think. And you find new mini games by like interacting with Daffy's world. And it's him talking to you, telling you to like draw this thing. There's one moment where you can draw a horse for Daffy that I've discussed at a certain point previously, and you can draw, as I did, a penis, and he says, "There's my steed," and he goes and hops astride the penis and rides off. It's very good.
And, but there's, and what lots year was this? Did this happen?
2007.
Okay.
And but this there's lots the, of like.
This was when we first learned that we could draw penises in video games, and everybody was extremely excited about it.
As they say in Mythic Quest, the TTD, the time to dick, it was much longer at that point. So we weren't reaching for our dreams. At the end of the game, of this wild game, in the original short, they pull back and show the animator is Bugs Bunny. And it's like, get it? It's Bugs been messing with him. In this game, they pull back and the animator is fucking Daffy Duck. What?
Drawing himself?
He says the last line of the game, I just looked it up on Wikipedia. Well, if you can't beat them, be them.
Whoa.
Damn, Duck Amuck.
Wait, who's them?
Exactly, Russ.
The fucking big ones, pulling the strings.
He's the one doing this to himself?
Is this what Matrix 4 is about?
It's the shadow government.
Yeah, so anyway, Duck Amuck's amazing. Yeah, it's fantastic. What did we ask folks? We frequently will ask you, the listeners at home, to contribute to our program in a very ethical way, not a manipulative sort of hit record.
How much do we dog on hit record Joe on this show?
I don't mean to hit dog. He seems like a very sweet person.
I'll fucking dog honestly. On him. Pay him. Pay the man his money.
So Frank wrote to our email address, which is mail@besties.fan. I wrote last week to talk about how great it is to be able to build a train set for my son and daughter in dreams so they can drive a little train on adventures. Or once I figure out how to make characters, I can model animal powers onto people to make my son's wild krat dreams come true. I went out and got move controllers for this game. In honor of that, here is a haiku. A train for your son, whose voice says chugga chugga choo choo when triangle pushed. If you want to see a train drive off a cliff and a broken ass Daniel Tiger trolley go in a circle and maybe derail, I can publish my demo publicly tonight.
That's delightful. That's so good.
So good. Will has a nuanced take. Dreams should not count as a real game. Oh. I don't want to make up my own game. I only have 3 hours of free time a day. I want to play Pokemon or Super Mario on my Switch while I watch TV.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what I just thought of for the first time in a billion years? Project Spark. Whatever happened with that, Microsoft? Remember that?
They were like building lands.
That was like their dream. That was like their kind of dreams style thing. Anyway, sorry. That's a
then they realized tangent. They couldn't make any money out of it.
I guess so.
I got an email from Miles Luna. I don't know if it's Miles Luna of Rooster Teeth fame. It is Miles Luna. At first, I found the sheer scope of what's possible in dreams to be a little staggering, but the carefully constructed way in which the game introduces you to new concepts is charming, encouraging, and most of all, manageable. Media Molecules push for players to remix currently existing stages rather than starting a brand new one from scratch is a clever way to ease people into creating without overwhelming them. It's tough if you're impatient and just want to build levels at the snap of a finger, but like any skill, dreams will be most rewarding to the creators who put in the time to learn from it and practice with it. Also, someone made a dream where you play as Robert Pattinson in The Lighthouse, and the fact that someone took the time to do that kicks so much ass.
I really like the tutorials in this. They've gamified the tutorials in this game in a really clever way, I thought. I enjoyed them a lot.
Do you guys have anything else you've been playing?
I've been playing through Dragon Quest Builders 2, which I think Griffin might have mentioned in a previous episode, but I finally got around to it. It is great. It's like super lovely. There is like a UGC connection to this too, where you are like designing your own town, but again, it has like the structure that I need because I lack the creativity. So they will give me like blueprints of like, you do this, and then
how
I follow.
How satisfying are building like the giant blueprints?
Oh, it's amazing. It feels great. Like, it's like buying like a Lego set and following the instructions. Yeah. I love it.
I just dipped back into Dead Cells for the Bad Seed DLC. Don't know if you guys have played that yet.
Is it on Switch yet?
Yeah, it's out on Switch. I'm having a hard time kind of breaking back into the scene, I feel like, because there's been a series of updates, and now my, like, just drop two turrets and fucking run away and then win the game strategy doesn't work anymore. So now I'm having to actually, like, engage with a lot of the systems that I haven't had to, and it's, like, beating the shit out of me. So, like, I'm not having a great time. But the new content seems pretty cool. But like all things in Dead Cells, like it's going to take me a dozen playthroughs to, you know, see a good portion of it.
I've been checking out something called, what should I talk about? Should I talk about, okay, I'll huddle to a vote. Kunai or Splinter Steel?
Splinter Steel.
I don't care about Splinter Steel. Yeah.
So I got this game Splinter Steel on, Steam. It's basically, oh God,
Prisoner's Dilemma.
Prisoner's Dilemma, where there's a pile of money on the table. You secretly, with the other player, choose to either split the cash, in which case you split the money equally. You can steal the cash, and if the other player chooses split, then you get all the money. Or you can steal the cash. If the other player chooses steal, you both lose all the money. So it is, you get basically 2 minutes to convince the other player that you are on the level and you're not going to take the money. You go up in tiers as you successfully get through these different encounters. The money continues to go up and up and up. And then eventually all you've got is basically the ability to type to the other person and try to convince them that you're not going to steal from them. And there's also some meta elements that are sort of similar to like clickers. There is a very weird scene around this game developing that's worth like checking in on, because there is basically this like a very vocal contingent of people that say you should never steal and have joined guilds that are based around not stealing and come into the world chat room to complain about people stealing.
Do they then steal?
No.
No. They figured out the dilemma. Like that's it's hilarious reading the reviews. Like, oh, this game sucks. Like, you should just always share. And it's like, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yes. You've discovered Ethics 101, you secretly passed it.
You've invented unions again.
Yeah, it's a very weird, like, there's a lot of problems with it. Like, it is basically negated the value, like it almost everyone splits until the higher ranks, because that's when you can really get a big payday. It almost doesn't make sense at all unless you're just being punitive. It doesn't make sense to steal. But people still do it, obviously. But like there's very little back and forth at the early stages. So there's a lot of like, let's just get through this until we get to the big rounds where there's actually some meaning to it. They're going to have to keep on it really hard, I think, to stay ahead of the meta on it and to keep it interesting. But it's a cool thing to check out.
I have been, I finished Control finally. And I want to call out one small detail. I've criticized a number of developers for using cleft lips and cleft palates as a signal of evil in video games. Drives me crazy, or just makes me very upset. And hey, what a surprise twist. There's a character in Control who has a cleft lip, and he is like not good or bad. He's just kind of a complicated person.
Not a nice person, not a mean person, just kind of like,
I think Clant's a very nice person.
Quotes Borat a little too much.
It's a bit. What character is it? Is it a DLC?
No, it's in the main campaign. I remember.
He oversees the Panopticon in the game.
The one who like where the objects are getting out of control.
Yeah.
Is it the
Yeah. And he's like just a great character. It made me so happy. Like it's such a small thing, but after decades of otherwise, what a nice pleasure for it just to like pop up in the game and it not to be a big thing. It was great. Also, the game is fantastic.
Had you not played Control before?
I played like 50 to 75% of it and then just kind of paused and then came back to it recently.
Your Xbox must have been really hot.
I played that on PC. I was smart.
PC must have gotten really hot.
Just still paused. And then,
just like
thank you. I thought you were just talking about it because it ran like garbage on consoles.
Next week we're going to...
The next couple weeks are just going to be jazz, baby, because we're waiting for Animal Crossing to come out and Doom.
Some of us are.
Don't do this to me right now. We're trying to figure out what we should do. I think we're going to have a week where we just talk about some lesser known stuff that we've really been enjoying lately that we've kind of been sitting on a discussion about. But next week is...
Next week, we're all going to the farm.
Oh, it's
going to
be good.
Rune Factory 4 for the Switch just came out. Been revisiting that. I think we're also going to talk a little bit about Stardew, which we've never really covered in depth on this show.
Because it's fucking 30 years old!
Yes.
It's older than Mario. There's a tribute to Stardew Valley in Mario 3.
Here's how the discussion went. Me, Rune Factory 4, I remember really liking that on 3DS. It's coming out on Switch. We should check that out because I know there's a little bit of buzz about it. And then I'm pretty sure all of you instinctively were like, what if we also had another game in case we didn't want to play this game that we think looks like hot trash?
I was excited. It was Fresh who said, my eyes hurt looking at this game.
The graphics are quite bad. But if you don't look at the screen, then it's...
If you look past the graphics, well, then it's just a bunch of ones and zeros flying past you, I guess.
Can someone in dreams make a better looking Rune Factory 4? That would be possible.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about Rune Factory. I think we're just going to be talking about farming games in general. So if you have any farm game-based memories... then go ahead and bring that. But Rune Factory 4 for the Switch will be the... Or for the 3DS. Hey, I've been playing it on the Switch. It's the same fucking game. So if you...
That's right, folks. Your dreams have been realized. Someone is finally asking to hear about your memories of playing farming video games. I know. You thought this moment would never come, but here we are. Thank you so much for listening to our program. We have such a good time making it. And the fact that you all... have enjoyed listening to it, I hope, at least. I mean, you're still here. Really means a lot. If you could help spread the word about the show, you know, tweet about it. Besties.fan is the very easy link to send people our way, and ask that they follow and listen for free on Spotify. Thanks also to Spotify for believing in us.
Also, you can follow the show on Twitter at TheBestiesPod, and you can subscribe to our newsletter. It is linked in our Twitter bio.
Yeah. And thanks. If you we post these audiograms on our Twitter account, which is a great way to like share those and bring new people onto the show who you think might enjoy it. We sure do appreciate that. That's it, right?
We did it.
That's it. Wrap it up, Juice.
All right, folks, thank you. Be sure to join us again next time for the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Sweet dreams are made of these.
Get out of my dreams!
Dream.
Russ, you got one?
Nope.
It's a Spotify original podcast in association with Vox Media. The show is edited by Jelani Carter. And our theme song is by Ian Dorsch.
Besties!